What's up, y'all, and welcome back to Found Bites, a game review series. My name is Brian, and I'll be your host. If you don't know about us, we're all about finding and testing out small, high-quality video games. This is a podcast that aims to respect your time and money as a gamer and a consumer by sifting through storefronts and sales to find those gems that may be worth your precious resources. But enough about the show. Let's get into our next game. Conscript is the game for this week's episode. Conscript is a 2024 survival horror game by Jordan Mochi. And the game was released on PS4 and PS5, PC, Mac, Switch, Xbox One Series S, and X. And the draw for me initially, it's a top-down survival horror game, and it's a World War I setting, something that's pretty unique, I feel like, those two combinations. Visually, it's super pixelated, it's very obscure, dark, but you definitely get used to it, I would say. And it has aim-and-shoot mechanics similar to games like Signalis, Crow Country, and resource management, inventory management, a lot of puzzles going back and forth, taking a lot of tropes from typical series like your Resident Evil, your Silent Hill, but it also takes a lot from games like Darkwood especially, but also a game called Subterrane that I loved. And it does have some jank, it has some save point, you know, frequency things where you're running and you're putting things in storage, and just typical things you'll come across in a survival horror game. The game released with an MSRP of $19.99, and I got it on sale on PS5 for $15.39. And supposedly the game takes about 10 to 12 hours to beat, and that is on the Conscript website itself, so directly from the developer. But I'm being super thorough. I put in about 11 hours, and there are 6 chapters, and I'm just about done the 4th, so I don't know if maybe the 5th and 6th are a little shorter, but I know that like the 3rd and the 4th have been fairly long, or at least very open, and so I'm being super thorough. I'm collecting a lot of inventory, I'm putting it back in my storage, things like that. The game does have a physical release on PS5 and Switch. It's kind of like a deluxe edition. I think it comes with some DLC skins or some kind of different uniforms that you can wear. I just read about that as I was researching this. I don't know how you change what you're wearing, and I'm pretty far in the game, so not really sure if maybe that's a New Game Plus thing. But it is available pretty much, I think, anywhere in retail. I am seeing it on Amazon, both versions, PS5 and Switch, for $29.99. Not sure where else you can grab it. The developer, I said, was Jordan Mochi, but he has a studio called Catch Weight Studio. I'm pretty sure it's just him, and he's out of Australia, so shout out to One Man Band in Australia putting this game together. And in terms of the buzz, how I found out about it, never really heard of this game at all, and I saw it on sale, and I just kind of watched the trailer a little bit. Saw like the inventory management, the survival horror stuff, and so I decided to give it a shot. All right, let's talk gameplay for Conscript. So, like I said, this is a top-down survival horror game. So let's run through some of the basics. So you're looking down at your character. You can move them around. Their normal speed is a bit sluggish, I would say, but you can hold a button to run, although you do have a stamina meter on the right next to your health meter. And when you're running, it actually drains pretty fast. And so you want to be mindful of that. because you don't want it to go all the way down. So when it gets close all the way to the bottom, you just kind of let it go and it comes up back at a fairly good speed, I would say. But if you deplete it all the way down, then it slowly comes all the way back up and you're exhausted. So while it's coming back up, you can't run. Nothing new with this mechanic, but just be very aware of this because you can run as long as you pace it. In all honesty, you don't run that much faster than you're walking, but it definitely is better than walking at normal speed. And as you're walking around with your character, you'll walk into things that you can interact with, and the prompts will show up, and they'll look different depending on what the thing is you can do. So it can be talk to NPCs, it can be search things, going into the next room, or opening a door to go into the next room. If you hold the left trigger or the L2, you'll be put into sort of like a weapon aim situation where you can move the cursor around. Your character stays stationary while you're doing this, and you can do it in a 360 view, whichever direction you want to aim at. And you'll see like these four crosshairs come out. And as you're holding it, they'll slowly start to come back into the center. And I think if you wait until they're all the way at the center and the four are conjoined, then it'll be like the most accurate weapon attack that you're going to do. And then so you'll hit the right trigger or R2, and your character, if it's a melee weapon, they'll swing it. If it's a gun, they'll shoot it. And the crosshairs doesn't go out fully, but you can see like the trajectory of where it would go. So you don't need to aim it directly at someone. You just need to do it in the right sort of degree with the right angle towards where they are. And if it's a gun, like they'll shoot past it. So if the enemy's far away, it'll still hit them as long as you can aim it. And I don't think aiming or even swinging a melee weapon or shooting a gun takes any stamina. And so that's a nice sort of change of pace, so you don't have to worry about like swinging your weapon and it taking away your stamina. You can also use the D-pad to change between quick slot things that you assign. So in your inventory, you'll be able to look at different weapons or different things that you have, whether it's health items, and assign them to one of the four D-pad slots, and then you can click it and then you'll have that up. And if it's a weapon, then you'll automatically be aiming with that when you go to aim. So let's talk progression in the game. So you'll be going room to room, and these rooms are going to have varied shape and size. They might be just squares or rectangles. A lot of times you're going to be going through hallways, or you're outside in these kind of hallways, which are going to be trenches that you're able to run through, and that'll connect different rooms. Once you enter a room, the map will show the shape of that room and potentially any doors that are in it. But you'll find that in this game, there are different area maps that you'll go between. And when you're in that area map, eventually you might find the actual area map so that you can look at it and see the shape of all the rooms in that area. But until you get that, you're not going to be able to see the rooms until you go in them, and the shape of them will pop up on the map once you do that. So like I said, you're going to be interacting with things, and some of those things are going to be entryways or doors that go into other rooms or into hallways. And so anytime that you go up to them in a room and it says something like there's an obstruction or there's a lock, that will get noted on the map. So the doors will pop up on the map, but until you go up to them, it won't tell you like how do you get in. It'll have like a question mark on the door. Once you do, it'll say on the map now like this key opens this door or something like that. So you're constantly going into a new room and kind of figuring out what are all the exits or what do I need to open the different doors, and then that information will populate on the map. And as you're going room to room, you're definitely going to be exploring and looting a lot. And this is going to get into the inventory management situation, because your inventory has limited space. Luckily, things like ammo will stack. You can do a lot of combining items and either making them bigger or turning them into different ammos or different throwables or things like that. And you'll definitely find, you know, recipes or guides for how to do this. But this is also a nice way to consolidate some of your inventory if you have limited space. And eventually, when you get to safe rooms, you will find storage boxes where you can just dump in everything. And I think it has like a max space of like 99. You definitely won't get to that, but it's nice to know that like you can just dump in whatever you have there. Again, typical survival horror, definitely similar to games like Lamentum, where you can just dump things in. Sometimes you won't even need to get to a safe room. Some of the storage boxes are just in random rooms, and they too will populate on the map once that you run into them. Some of the things you'll be picking up health items, different guns, different ammo for guns, different throwables, all kinds of different things that you can combine to make different things. A lot of these things that you'll be collecting, you might find in rooms and just pick them up. You might be able to make them, like I said, with combining them, or you'll be able to buy them. There is going to be sort of one main merchant that'll be in every safe room for the most part. But you might also find other things like sellables that you'll be able to sell to the merchant and get currency for. You'll find key items that'll be useful for puzzles, as well as just straight up keys, which is right out of like Resident Evil. But once you start to get the hang of going in and out of rooms, really what you're doing is sort of this open exploration. Like you'll constantly be pushing and going into different rooms and creating sort of this sandbox that you're able to move around in and go back and forth with rooms in. And as you're doing this, you're going to come across these sort of intertwined puzzles. It might be things where you find items on the ground or read notes that give you codes to open up like a padlock or something like that. Maybe you'll have to look in the environment and solve a puzzle. Again, maybe you'll find like an actual key that'll open certain doors. Very Resident Evil, very Silent Hill. And it'll be situations where like you'll have a couple different items for different puzzles, and then you'll unlock one puzzle and it'll give you the second item for the next puzzle. And in there, you'll be able to open up that door, so on and so forth. So it's really just a lot of finding different things. What puzzle can I solve now? And then that's going to kind of cascade and bring you towards potentially where you need to go. And once you find some of the keys that unlock like a couple different doors, that's going to sort of open up this sandbox that you're able to explore in. So slowly you're unlocking different things as you progress through the game, and you're able to explore more, and this area that you have to explore is just going to slowly grow and grow, and you'll unlock new rooms and potentially get to new connected areas. But the main way that you are progressing through the game is through finding out the main quest that's written on your map and completing the objectives to go do so. So you'll look at the map and in the bottom left corner, it'll say like, find this person or go to this place to deliver this or whatnot. So that's sort of these broad general get to this place. And you'll find that like to be able to do that, you're going to have to unlock certain things and find certain items in order to unlock other things to get to the place where you're trying to go. Once you eventually accomplish this main quest objective, that's going to complete and end the chapter. So as we move along and we talk about pacing, the game is built into chapters. There are 6 chapters. And at the beginning and I think sometimes at the end of each chapter, there's like a cutscene. The first one kind of goes on a little bit long. I was really waiting as I started this game to just jump into the action. So at the beginning of chapters, goes on a little long. Sometimes you'll even be in like a non-combat story sequence where you're moving your character around. There's no map. You can potentially skip some of the things that you might come across in this, because a lot of this is just like character based or like lore or getting to know your character and what is going on in their life. I skipped one or two of them accidentally because you can just go right to bed and that's the way to progress. So there's not really any instructions for that, but basically when you get in these non-combat sequences, I would suggest just kind of moving around and exploring a bit before you go to bed. What I do like is that as you progress through the chapters, you're kind of in the same map. Now, getting into a new chapter, you might unlock a new area, but the areas are connected and you can go between them. And there are little arrows on the map written that say like this way to this area. So it is really nice that actually when you think about like the different things you unlocked, whether they're optional puzzles or finding different things or items in the game, once you unlock or get the keys to certain places, you don't necessarily have to worry that you're not going to be able to go back. You can definitely backtrack mostly in this game. There are a couple instances where things do get blocked off, but they honestly have an alternate path. I would just say that there's minimal cutoff in this game, and there's minimal things that you miss. So really no rush to explore once you get something new or solve a puzzle that's not like the main way to go. So I really like that. Really nice there. I think that really helps with the pacing because sometimes in these games it can be a little stressful. You don't want to miss things. Maybe you're trophy hunting potentially. So on the topic of just exploration in general and looting, sometimes you're going to come across new weapons, new things that you find. You don't have to necessarily do them, but they're really going to be helpful in the game. You're definitely going to find a lot of currency as you're going around looting, whether it's from killing enemies or just finding them in rooms. You can buy and sell a lot of your weapons. You're definitely going to find better versions of some of the guns and some of the melee weapons, so you can kind of sell the lesser ones to get more currency and then buy better things. You'll be able to upgrade your weapons, so that might be interesting, kind of counterintuitive to selling weapons, but you do get a lot of the upgrade parts, and they're just generic upgrade parts. So you can like fully upgrade a weapon and then sell it and then fully upgrade the next version with really no problem. And a lot of what you're going to do with buying and selling and upgrading is going to be based on finding this trader in the safe room. And it's the same one that's going to be in pretty much every safe room. It's the same guy, and it's a nice, like, oh, hey, it's been a while. Again, very similar to Resident Evil. I just played Resident Evil 4 Remake last summer, and so definitely reminded me a lot of that. And what's nice is he has the same inventory, but as you progress through different chapters, he gets more stuff. It might be more volume of the same stuff or new weapons, so it's nice to see that inventory kind of rotate. And so there is some depth to this, certainly that you might expect in a survival horror game, maybe even a little more. But a lot of depth to your inventory, your resource and ammo management. You're definitely going to find a lot. You're going to be able to put it back in your storage. But you're also going to be able to acquire permanent increases to different things like your inventory size, your stamina, your health. So when you see those opportunities, when you see those items, just use them or buy them, and you're definitely not going to regret it. You are also going to find different things you can equip, like your armor, your melee, your flashlight. And a lot of these things are going to have their own individual like durability meters. So your armor can kind of take in some of the hits and that can deplete. And once it's broken, it'll have like a zero meter. Same thing with any melee weapon. It has a limit. Your flashlight battery has a limit. But you can get like a repair kit for a lot of these things and use it on your armor or your melee weapon. The flashlight has its own battery that you would replace it with. And there's also sort of this, I don't want to say confusion, but you've got the main quest. You've got maybe some side quests that you actually get from NPCs that don't get written down somewhere. And then just your general exploration, all that mixed together. Sometimes it might be a little tedious because you might have to go back and forth across the map. Like once you get an item, it's like, oh, now I know I can go all the way back there. Now that I've gotten back there, I can get in this one door. Now I found this item. Now I got to go back across the map. So sometimes you might have that going on. But I do like that you can go and explore and find better weapons. That kind of is a little bit of an incentive to do the exploration alongside also pushing with the main quest. Sometimes you might not even know you're doing both at the same time, but it's really a nice mix when it comes together. And let's talk about the combat. So this is something that you're going to encounter a lot in this game. There are enemies, different types, ones that only have melee weapons, ones that are shooters from afar, and then ones that are kind of combos, like they have the long rifle that has the knife on the end of it. And they're going to have a varied amount of speed or amount of health or hits that it takes to get them down. But the different encounters you're going to come across, especially considering just pacing in general, in the first chapter or so, you're going to have a lot of encounters where it's just like single enemies are coming at you. Sometimes they might come, you know, in waves, but it might just be one at a time. It's going to be a little bit before they're getting you into facing multiple enemies at the same time. And then as you progress further into the game, you're going to get some guys that take more hits to take them down, some heavy hitters. And so that complexity kind of has a nice linear pace to it. Your encounters and what you do are really going to be area dependent. So sometimes you might just be in a very vast open space and you might see enemies and they might not see you. So you can kind of scurry around them or get across and not have them see you. You might have a long hallway or these trenches that kind of go up and down. That might be an interesting way to encounter enemies and a different way to strategize or maybe hide or wait for them to pass and then go. And there are definitely going to be a lot of spaces where it's dark and you can have your flashlight on or off, but that sort of dim light is really going to obscure enemies sometimes. Most of them will be lit in like a small circle, so when they come close to you, it should be obvious, but sometimes it might not be so obvious, and the strategy that you might use in all these situations will vary. And I will say, most of the time, a lot of my strategy was find an enemy, shoot them, and then as they're running after you, you run back a little bit and they're chasing you, and then you wait and then you shoot again, and then if they're still there, you run back a little more. A lot of the weapons in this game have an interesting reload mechanic. Some of them are semi-automatic, like pistols, and there's like a machine gun or a Gatling gun. But a lot of like the rifles, the shotguns, they're going to require you to hit the reload button after every shot. And you need like a little bit of a second. So a lot of your strategy with like shoot and then run is going to be like, okay, while you're running, hopefully you get enough distance where you can hit the reload and then maybe move a little more while they're running at you and get another shot in. So it can be a little complex, but you really do get the rhythm of it. And one of the things that you can upgrade about weapons is how long it takes their rate of fire. because you have like the reload in between shots, but then if the clip is empty, you have to fully reload it, and that might take a lot more time. You might have strategies where you might try to sneak up behind an enemy, and a lot of times if you shoot them when their back is to you, they'll pretty much go down in one shot, depending on how big the enemy is or how much health they have. But it definitely does more damage if they don't see you before you shoot them. You're going to be using your environment a lot. So in a lot of the trenches or the hallways that kind of go up and down, you're going to be using those twists and turns to maybe get cover if the enemy's shooting. Potentially, if you need to reload, you can cut around a corner and it'll take the enemy maybe another second or so. So you have that extra time. So using your environment, sometimes you'll see like Gatling guns on the ground set up in outside rooms or outside environments, and you can just go behind it and it has a certain amount of ammo already stashed in it, and you can just shoot like whatever enemies are chasing you. So that might be a strategy if you're trying to get enemies to follow you a certain way, and then you get behind the Gatling gun and you just mow them down. There are explosive barrels. You'll also be able to find and craft throwables like grenades or firebombs. And one strategy that is tried and true in this game is if you're near a door to a room to get out of the current room that you're in, you can exit at any time and enemies do not follow you into the next room. And it's funny because you'll actually be able to re-enter and it kind of resets where they are, but it doesn't reset if you killed them or even if you injured them, I found. So like if you really want to cheese it, and three enemies are chasing you all at the same time, and you killed one of them and two more are like right about to hit you, you can just exit the room and go back in, and then they'll be spread out again. So you can kind of really trial and error cheese it, which is something I did a couple times, so I don't feel bad about it if you do it, but it's definitely part of potential strategy. And then you might have some interesting or special encounters or sequences where, you know, you have to kind of run, do like a run and cover in guerrilla formation where like you have a lot of your allies with you and maybe things are falling from the sky. You'll have situations where things are chasing you or you have to run from something. So I like that sometimes the encounters are a little different. And then, of course, you have your health. You have your health bar on the bottom right in red. And if you get hit, a certain amount of it will go down. If you need to use recovery items, you can always put them in the D-pad as a shortcut and then use them, or you can go right into your inventory and click use on it and it will immediately use it. You don't have to wait for any kind of in-game cutscene or anything like that. You'll also encounter hazards in the environment, and a lot of these are interactable features, which is interesting. So as you're going through like the outside or maybe inside of a cave, you'll see these small squares that are rat holes. And so when you interact with them, it'll say like, hey, this is, you can hear a family of rats in here. Do you want to throw a grenade in? And if you have a grenade, you can throw the grenade in and it'll kind of bury them all in it. But as you go through the game, these specific locations where there are rat holes, and there's a bunch of them, if you didn't throw a grenade in, over time, they'll start to produce more rats, and then the rats will grow to be sort of bigger and be able to bite you and potentially infect you, which lowers your max health temporarily. And so if you progress through the game, as you go through the chapters, you'll see like more of these bigger rats anytime you leave a dead body around and they're just hanging around it. And so it's something that is like giving way to this living, progressing world, even though you're moving in kind of a short time frame. So it's just something that's really interesting because you can take care of it if you want, or you can leave it, but it's going to have consequences later if you leave it. And there are other situations like this, like some of the trenches will have areas, like small areas where the barbed wire at the top of the wall has like gone away. And so you can find or buy these different spools. And if you have one, you can go and use it at that, and then it'll like block any future enemies from coming in. So I think this works to like make sure an area is sealed so that enemies don't respawn. But if you, again, leave these, then these areas in future chapters might respawn certain enemies that wouldn't normally be there if you had taken care of it. And lastly, in terms of accessibility, so there are a fair amount of safe rooms in the game, not that close together. Anytime you go to one, you know, you want to dump your inventory in them, find the merchant there, and you can save. Saving is actually interesting in this game because when you start it, you're given a couple options. I think the default options are that you have a limited number of manual saves based on items that you find that you can use to save. I think it's ink, so very similar to Resident Evil. And then there's also an option to allow autosaves at certain checkpoints in the game. And the default is that neither of these are clicks. So the default in the game is that you have a limited number of manual saves and it does not autosave in checkpoints. So when the game starts, you can check both of those boxes to get unlimited manual saves and automatic checkpoints, but it says this will lock you out of finishing with the S plus ranking. So I believe at the end of the game, it ranks your playthrough. Again, very Resident Evil, very survival horror. And so if you're somebody that wants to go for trophies or wants to get the best ranking or something like that, just be mindful of that. There was no way I was going to go through this game and have a limited number of saves. I'm somebody who saves way too much in this game. Anytime I change anything in my inventory, I'll resave it just to, you know, be able to start fresh or know exactly where I left off so I didn't have to change anything. I think it's nice to have those accessibility options. There's also difficulty modes in the game. I think I'm playing it either the normal or the hard, whatever the game like recommends out of the box. And so you can certainly play at a higher difficulty. I don't know the difference. I think it's like either more enemies or less enemies, more health items, less health items, things like that. The map is very, very helpful. Like I said, going up to different doors and having it record sort of what key goes to what door, or once you find a key, what doors you can then go and open that you've seen before. So having that detail written on the map is very helpful. And you can die in this game. Obviously, you can always reload if you have manual saves, or depending on the sequence that you're going through or that you just died at, it might just bring you back to like right next to where you were. So that's not always going to be the case, but it could be. And then as you're progressing through the game, you're going to find notes. And these could be how to do certain things. It could be recipes for combining items. A lot of things to really help you get through this. So pretty high accessibility, in my opinion, from these features. Alright, let's talk about the vibe of Conscript, and let's start with the visuals. So like I said at the top, the game is very pixelated. It's super grainy, especially the character models. Just looking at them walking through, it's almost like they're faceless. Like, you definitely can't determine any kind of facial expressions from them. It's kind of a cross between Signalis and like Uncanny Valley and Dark Side Detective. I feel like even Signalis had more facial expressions than this game does. You definitely cannot see facial expressions, at least in the sprites. When they're talking, when dialogue boxes come up, you do see a kind of a bust of a character that is definitely more rendered and you can see like facial features. The environment is definitely more detailed, but it's still pixelated. The color palette is interesting. It's very dark, very drab, similar to Crow Country. A lot of grays, browns, blacks. And like I said, you're definitely going to get into dark tunnels, and that's where the flashlight will come in handy. If you don't have the flashlight equipped or aren't using it, you'll have like a soft circle of light around you, but you really cannot see too far in front of you. So an enemy might pop up in front of you, or you might miss a collectible on the ground or something like that. The environment's pretty much what you might expect. So a lot of trenches, like I said, and these are just like dirt or mud. You know, sometimes you'll be running across brick or rubble piles, a lot of wood frames for things holding up the trenches along the sides or entries into caves. If there are doors to a room, they're going to be like giant metal doors. When you get into more open areas, you're going to see a lot of building ruins. So obviously you're in the middle of war, and so a lot of these things are kind of coming down or being flattened. Visual cues are nice and helpful. So just in general, when you get to a safe room, like there's a lamp or like a blue light that's in there, making sure you know this is a safe area. And also just in general, when you get to a door, the door is actually blue when it's a door to a safe room. So that's a nice sort of indicator like, oh, there's a safe room here. Whenever you see items that you can pick up off of the ground and loot, they'll have like a shine or a glint, and they'll be continuously showing that. So that's a nice way to catch, like, oh, there's an item over there. Can be a little confusing with like the raindrops sometimes. A lot of times, like, I'd see out of the corner of my eye, like, something flash small in the top right corner, and then I kept my eyes there for a second and it was a raindrop. So sometimes that can be a little confusing. And whenever you come across an enemy and they don't see you right away, or you start to get into their purview, there's like a little sight eye that pops up above them. I don't know if there's like a color change or a meter with it, but I think whenever you see the eye, it's a pretty strong chance that they're going to see you very soon. In terms of audio, I like the music in this game. I think it's generally pretty low and ominous. It definitely matches the setting. There's a tune in the safe room that stands out, and this is really similar to any survival horror game. I definitely felt this with Crow Country. Like, when you're in the safe room, there's some kind of eerie, kind of harrowing, but catchy musical tone that comes on that kind of makes you feel safe, but also kind of not. And so that's definitely very intentional, and this game has something like that in it. A lot of sound effects. The gunshots you'll hear a lot, very satisfying. Sometimes when you're close to enemies, you might hear them like mumbling, and that's helpful, I guess. It can be a little strange, but sound effects are pretty much fine in this game. And in terms of setting and themes, so like I said, you're in battle. This is World War I. You're a French soldier. And a lot of sort of like the subplot is that you're looking for your brother. So maybe a little like Saving Private Ryan type instance there. As you're doing this, as the chapters move along, the war is advancing as you're picking up the pieces, or he was just here, but now he's not. And it's like, you know, you're kind of chasing and looking for him. You're also getting a lot of context from the lore and the themes by reading notes or letters or posters on the wall. And sometimes you'll read letters that are like correspondence between people, like soldiers and their loved ones. So just a lot of history, a lot of context that you're getting. In these cutscene sequences before and after chapters, a lot of it is your character, I guess, at their home. And so you're learning a little about their family before they went on to go to the war. So this is pre-war, going through these sequences, and you're kind of getting a little bit of coloring of who this person is or what their family situation is. And then everything else alongside war, just a lot of gruesome things, a lot of bloody deaths. Like when you shoot an enemy, when you kill them, like they're sitting in a pool of blood. Sometimes you'll come across, whether it's enemies or whether it's your allies, kind of standing alone in a room and just like clutching their head and like they're going insane and they're having PTSD, like just really crazy, all kinds of things that you might expect people to be going through. Sometimes if you quote unquote kill an enemy, they might not fully be dead. So they're like writhing on the ground or they're crawling towards you. So you might have to put them out of their misery. Just really, really gruesome stuff. Other than that, just some little things. Some of the dialogue is kind of short and snippy, has a lot of good humor in it. There's some recurring interactions or recurring characters that you come across. But I will say, talking about those before and after chapter sequences, they kind of can go on a little bit long, especially the first one as you start the game. It might linger a little too much and you might be wondering, like, where is the action? Just let me get into the game. So definitely be aware of that. So let's wrap up the conversation about Conscript. So I am biased. I love survival horror games. I love resource management. I love managing your storage and your inventory and just geeking out about like, oh, which item should I hold in my inventory? Oh, should I equip this weapon? What should be my secondary weapon? Like, I just love stuff like that. And that alongside with exploring, collecting items, maxing out your ammo stacks and your upgrades for your weapons, it can be tedious for some. I understand that that's me. I love these types of games, but the back and forth to the storage in the safe rooms, that might be really old and really fatigued for some people, as well as even being exposed to the different challenge options with saving. You definitely don't have to do it, but some people might not really care that those options are there. But what I like about this game in terms of the accessibility, like we talked about, the game has minimal things you can miss. I love that the map really just kind of gives a lot of detail. It grows as the chapters move on and it doesn't cut you out of things. And you can take care of side things at your own pace. You can find better weapons at your own pace. You can really try to maximize your currency, buy better stuff. The game does have some jank, especially with the aiming and the combat. The different strategies might not be up your alley. It's nice that you can cheese certain things. It might seem disingenuous, but I feel like it's a pretty fair game, just providing a lot of accessibility. In terms of value, I feel like $20 is solid for this game. I feel like 15 and under might be the sweet spot. So if you want to look for it on sale, under 15, I would definitely go for that. I paid about 15 for it. Really happy with that purchase there. I feel like for a lot of people, the pixel presentation, just watching the video, it really might deter you. But just know there is a lot here underneath those visuals. It's got a lot of depth. If you're a survival horror fan, I feel like you will like it. It might take a little patience. Again, some of these cutscenes in the beginning, it might throw you off. You might be just wanting to get into the action. But I do feel like at the heart of this, survival horror fans will love it. And especially if you're somebody who's maybe a history buff, maybe a World War I buff, you might dig this and it might be a nice entryway into these types of games. So for those reasons, I highly suggest this game. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Stay tuned for our next episode to see what new game we found for you.